Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to a repeat broadcast of Soundcheck.
Giving it up, don't mind. Giving it up, don't mind. Every last drop, little bit. Giving it up, don't mind. Giving it up, but don't mind. I wrote a song about...
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If an artist's music serves as a window into his state of mind, then apparently Mike Doty is a pretty content guy right now. Formerly the leader of the 90s cult band Soul Coughing, he has managed to reinvent himself as a solo artist. His second release is entitled Golden Delicious, and it features a poppy, upbeat sound. But while some of its songs are lighthearted, this one is simply about someone's car, others are darker and tackle topics like breakups and war. We'll chat with Mike Doty in a moment, but first, he's going to perform a song for us. Here, along with guitarist Andrew Livingston, is Mike Doty and a song called 27 Jennifers, live on Soundcheck.
I went to school with 27 Jennifers. 16 Jens, 10 Jennies, and then there was her. You might be the one that I've been seeking for. You might be the strange, delightful. You might be the girly who shall end all girls. You might be the sweet, unspiteful. I rode the bus with 27 Jennifers. 16 Jens, 10 Jennies throwing shade at her. Jennifers, 27 Jennifers.
"27 Jennifers," live performance here in our Soundcheck studio by Mike Doty singing and playing the guitar, Andrew Livingston playing the electric guitar, and that song is on Mike's latest CD called Golden Delicious. Mike, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hey, man. Thanks for having us.
So, you know, first half of the show, we're talking about all these people who, as their adults, kind of find their way back into music or into music for the first time and, you know, kind of big changes. Any of that stuff ring true for you who have done music all through your adult life and... You know,
sure. I mean, I remember when I started out playing guitar and singing as a teenager, I just started pretending I knew how to do it, you know, and I would tell people, oh, I've been playing for like 6 years, but I've been playing for like 2 months and, you know, would have like no idea how to do anything and would just kind of go. I mean, basically, every time I learned how to do something new, I wrote a song around it, you know. So, yeah. fake it till you make it is like a time-tested rock and roll technique.
And is it, I mean, a lot of what the people, different people on the phone and here in the studio were saying, did any of that kind of remind you of the moment when you left Soul Coughing? Because that's a big change, too, to leave an established band and strike out on your own.
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't understand how none of those people mentioned stage fright.
Well, Perry did, you know. That's the piano parties is all for these people who can play but are afraid to.
There was a dearth of stage fright among these people in general. But, you know, I quit Soul Coughing against the advice of virtually everybody I knew. But I had been doing like an acoustic singer-songwriter thing whenever I got a chance at the time. I'd made a record that Warner Brothers had rejected. I left. I got dropped by the label. I had to find a new manager. And basically, I just printed up copies of the CD that Warner Brothers had rejected, put them in a rental car, hit the road by myself, and just really had to start from square one. Initially, my name would be on the marquee or in the club ad, and people would expect to hear Soul Coughing music, and, you know, there was, like, hostility from some of the...
Well, now, when you say your name was on the marquee, was it Mike or was it M,
Doty? Well, I was trying hard for Mike, but the M still lingers, you know. So, it's amazing how you, like, make these pretentious moves when you're 19, and they, like, haunt you in your late 30s, you know.
Let's hear a little bit, for folks who aren't familiar with the band Soul Coughing, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, this is their song Super Bon Bon. Band Soul Coughing from the song Super Bon Bon, just a bit of what Mike Doty used to sound like. Yeah. It's a very different sound,
totally
obviously.
I cringe listening to that record. I don't know who that guy was. I don't identify with him. It's really odd.
Is that why you left? Because you were no longer, did you feel kind of painted into a corner somehow?
Well, what happened was my bandmates did not want to believe that I wrote songs. And it was very bizarre because, you know, you'd write a song and then bring it in and people would pretend that I hadn't written it. It was a weird psychedelic, these aren't the droids you're looking for. I should say the Super Bon Bon, that was a collectively written song. And there were collectively written songs, but, you know, there was just, the guys in the band were all like 10 years older than me. We started a band when I was like a 23-year-old wunderkind and, there was just a lot of kind of denial that that I was any good, basically. And I was told that, like, throughout the history of the band. And eventually I was just like, you know, there's really...
you have two choices, either believe it or leave it.
And I believed it. I believed it until I had to get out. So,
you're writing your own songs. The album's called Golden Delicious. The songs include Nectarine Part 1, More Bacon Than the Pan Can Handle.
Yes.
You've name-checked KFC in a previous song.
Yes.
Songwriting seems to be going down a certain avenue with you, and that is...
Oh, food?
Food.
Food, yeah. I mean, food, and it's like the other sensual thing, don't you think? I mean, like, what else is there?
Music and food?
Music, sex and food, I was going to say. Okay. Of things to write about. You could write music about music. I guess that's been done.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So
no more culinary adventures in lyric writing.
So, I mean, is it part of the musician's lifestyle, being out on the road and wondering where that next meal is going to come from and how edible it's going to be?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's really... I find that musicians in general become very food oriented their life becomes more musical, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of a defense mechanism against life on the road, too.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I'm way into comfort food on the road. Scrap and I, Andrew and I, are doing a tour of the South, just like a 4-day show. And we're already talking about Waffle House and Chick-fil-A. You know, we're like way into the, you know, the primo garbage food of that part of the country.
Uh-huh. And when you're home, what's the comfort food?
At home I'm, you know, living on cereal or whatever, like complete bachelor chow existence. But on the road, I go insane.
Okay, we're speaking with Mike Doty. He's here with guitarist Andrew Livingston. Now, you actually came to New York in the 90s to study poetry, right?
No, I came to New York to become a singer-songwriter. And, you know, like 1989, I came in and I found hip-hop and house music.
Uh-huh.
And just the strangeness of the form and, you know, the atonality of the form. Secondly, I had a teacher named Sekou Sundiata, who's a poet that recently passed away.
Right. Sekou's been on this show a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah. He just spun my head around about language, completely changed my life. And thirdly, I worked at the Knitting Factory, which was like kind of the epicenter of like avant-garde jazz music in the early 90s. And so I just heard all these wonderful, strange things and Sekou recommending Basquiat and going to look at the paintings as if they were poetry. And, you know, I just kind of came from a very kind of Rolling Stones, Billy Bragg replacement sensibility and just got my head blown apart.
Well, but, you know, the point being that wordplay has been an important part of what you've done.
Absolutely.
Over the years. The song you're going to do for us next, called Fort Hood, has both wordplay and a little bit of kind of a play of expectations of associations that we have with some old music. Tell us a little bit.
Well, the song, the chorus is stolen from Let the Sunshine In from Hair, which, again, relating back to the house music from the early 90s, just seemed like perfectly natural for me to lift somebody else's piece and incorporate it into my thing. I guess singer-songwriters don't do it, so there's been kind of a weirdness factor, you know, from like mainstream radio people are kind of weirded out by it, but
still,
yeah, it's, my dad was in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And it's very, for me, there's a parallel between that time when he came back and he was called a baby killer and he was spit on, all that cliche stuff. It actually happened to him. And now when everyone is at pains to differentiate the war from the warrior.
So that's basically what's informing this song.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically about post-traumatic stress disorder, which, you know, if you grow up in the Army, which I did in the 70s, all of the kids...
You were an Army brat.
You didn't grow up in the Army.
Your dad was
I enlisted at 3.
Right, okay.
But all the adults were Vietnam veterans, and there was just weird, freaked-out behavior, depression, mania, just all these things that seemed like adult life to me when I was a kid, but I grow up and I realize it was PTSD. When I look at these kids coming back, I went to Walter Reed 2 years ago and I met these guys who had lost their limbs, and it was a really moving experience just going around Walter Reed handing out CDs. But, you know, everybody that comes back from the war is going to be scarred. You know, we don't live in a culture that embraces mental illness as something that is treatable, that, you know, it's still taboo, particularly like in, you know, pretty macho army culture, you know.
Right. All right, so that's the backdrop to the song. It's called Fort Hood, and it appears on Mike Doty's latest release called Golden Delicious, but he is going to perform it with Andrew here.
Andrew Scrap Livingston on the electric guitar.
On the electric guitar. Here's another live performance in our soundcheck studio.
Rather watch movie stars get fat. I'd rather hang up a flag and be done with it. I'd rather keep the fire and the frenzy out of my mind. I'd rather take sides in an argument. I'd rather crank up the bass in a dark basement. I'd rather leave the mobs and the murder in a distant land. Yeah.
sun shining, let the sun shine in, the sun shine in. My vote's a bet in a football pool, 5 on the red, 6 on the blue. Wake up, fool, there's no time for a shouting match. I smell blood and there's no blood around. Blanked out eyes and the blanked out sound. I see them coming back, motionless in an airport lounge. Let the sun shine in. Let the sun shine in. The sun shine in. Well, you should be getting stoned with a prom dress girl. You should still believe in an endless world. You should blast young cheesy with your friends in a parking lot. Let the sun shine in. Let the sun shine in. The sun shine in. Let the sun shine in. Let the sun shine in. The sun shine in. Let the sun shine in. Let the sun shine in. The sun shine in. Let the sun shine in. Sun shining.
The song is called Fort Hood, incorporating the chorus of Let the Sun Shine In, of course. And Fort Hood, a reference to the army base in Texas that has lost the most soldiers.
That has lost the most people in the war.
In Iraq. Mike Doty, live in our studio, and Andrew Livingston on guitar. When people wonder why, you know, what the justification for sampling is. I mean, you didn't digitally sample that chorus, but
no.
you've taken it and moved it. But the justification can often be, you know, you start hearing something in a new way. And certainly you've recast those words, let the sun shine in.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was reading this piece in the New Yorker last night about these guys sort of chasing after folk music in the rural South, Mississippi and Alabama. And, you know, there still is an oral tradition, but it's people ripping off each other's songs. It's just you can take from the actual document as well as, you know, well, I think the most common way is people just rip off each other's melodies and,
right,
you know, don't credit other people. And that's cool. That's culture.
It's worked for thousands of years.
Yes, it has.
So now you're doing this DJ gig at the Knitting Factory.
Yeah.
Where you used to work as a...
Where I used to... Well, it was the old location on Houston Street, but yeah, it's the same vibe. It's the same... I mean, I think they still have the same computer for tickets that they did in 91, you
Probably
know?
True.
Yeah.
So is this a little nostalgic for you, even if it's not the same building, to be going back there and
a little
spinning?
Bit. A little bit, yeah.
All right.
I remember being in a dressing room, and the guy whose job was to clean up the dressing room coming in saying, can you bust your own stuff? Just put it in this. So it's like, that's the Knitting Factory.
The new album is called Golden Delicious. Mike Doty, thanks for joining us on Soundcheck today.
Ding, ding, ding.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the program. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow, and I'm John Schaefer. Be with us next time at this time for Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM WNYC. Coming.